Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah. I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. And disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
It is part three of our year in review as we take a look back at the biggest stories that happened this year. And if you missed part one or part two of our year in review, you can go backwards in our podcast and you can listen to those. It's very easy. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast. But this is part three. So if you missed part one or part two, make sure you go backwards. All right. With that being said, it's time to get started and take another look at what a crazy year this actually was. We look at what we should have realized was coming, what we missed, tactics from the left, what we got to make sure can never happen again, what we can learn from, and actually some of the positives of the year, and we break it down. One of the biggest things I think of this past year is we learned that the Democratic Party does not like progress. What does Democratic Party believe in? They believe in modern day slavery, where you are desperate for their little checks to you to keep you afloat, to keep you alive. They do not need people to be successful. If they do, they lose their power. They need people to be weak. There's a reason why Jesse Jackson said in African-American church that it's an honor to be a food stamp president. He was referring at the time to Barack Obama, when more Americans were on food stamps than at any other time in history. And he said it was an honor to be a food stamp president. What Donald Trump was able to pull off was something that was truly incredible during his presidency. And before COVID hit, you look at the numbers. We had the lowest unemployment rate ever in history for African Americans and Hispanics. The lowest unemployment rate for women, minority women, and for young minorities in this country. It was truly incredible. And the reason why it was so incredible is because he did it not through a government program. He did it by getting the government out of the way of people to succeed. He did it by fighting for small businesses to have the right, for small businesses to have the ability to be able to protect themselves and to grow. What you saw with this president was he said, "I understand that government is in fact the problem. I understand that government is the problem. I understand that government is our biggest enemy. I understand that the government needs to get the hell out of our way. And I understand that regulations are sucking the life out of this country. So what I'm going to do is get out of your way, and I'm going to let you go back to work." I'm going to fight to bring businesses back to life in America. These are the things that I am going to do. And Democrats were terrified that this was going to get Donald Trump reelected, which is exactly why they had to start dividing this nation and screaming racism, and why Black Lives Matter and Antifa became such a big thing pre-COVID. That was their original way they thought they were going to win. Now, joining me with my year in review is Kyle Olson. He's a reporter with Breitbart News. Kyle, you know, before COVID, this was their strategy, was to use Black Lives Matter, divide on racial lines. But the real story is, and Republicans need to understand this, because Donald Trump did it, that if you do the policies that you promise you're going to do and you empower all Americans, it will help minorities more than any special project towards minorities. This was something that helped every American. That may be the part that shocks so many people, is it wasn't like he had special rules for minority groups. He said, no, I'm going to work hard for every American, for all Americans. I'm going to make sure that all Americans have the ability to succeed. And that's exactly what he did. And what did it do? Every ship rose because of this policy of putting Americans and America first.
Right. I mean, that's ultimately, at the end of the day, Americans want to work. They don't want to ask the government for handouts. They don't want to rely on the government. People want to work. They want to provide for their families. They want to accomplish something, et cetera. And you talked about Black Lives Matter. I talked to Robert Cahaley from the Trafalgar Group during the campaign, and he told me that basically what was happening was President Trump was doing very well prior to the pandemic in terms of polling, because the economy was on the right track. The policies were on the right track and all of that. And then the coronavirus hit, and the media was just obsessed with the coronavirus. And then these protests started happening. George Floyd was killed. These protests started happening. The media then shifted to that, and they were focusing on that. But then that was when the riots started happening, and that's when places like Kenosha, Wisconsin were burned down. And suddenly it became violent, and people got concerned that, wait a minute, this is not just about quote unquote police brutality anymore, but this is about destroying people's businesses, destroying people's livelihoods, who had nothing to do with anything that happened. And he said, then what happened was that was when President Trump's polling started going up, because he was talking about protecting the suburbs and protecting people from, you know, violence and, you know, this sort of behavior. So then he said, Robert Cahaley said, then the media shifted back to coronavirus, because that was what they could use as a weapon against President Trump. And they just, you know, of course, they had Anthony Fauci on virtually every channel. I don't know how the guy got any work done, because he was on TV all the time. And but that was what the media did. They constantly were on the offensive against President Trump. It was so difficult for him to have any sort of positive message out there, because CNN and MSNBC and even Fox News, they just attacked him all the time.
You know, one of the things that we saw is the president trying to fight hard to get more money to the American people. We now have been told that Donald Trump has signed the coronavirus relief bill after days of tension. Again, the president signed the massive coronavirus relief and government spending bill late on Sunday, and in nearly a week of suspense that flustered governors and lawmakers of both parties. Mr. Trump, they say, President Trump penned a paper after a Christmas period marked by anger and confusion over his demands for bigger payments. And that's what he wanted. Yet it looks like now multiple outlets now are saying that the president said, all right, fine, this is what you guys want to do. I tried and demanded $2,000 checks to the American people instead of the measly $600 in the bill, but you guys won't move, so I'm going to at least get the $600 to the American people. Is this a failure, or is this a, we should remember, at least Trump tried, and the Democrats and Congress and the Republicans failed? Because the president called him out. He called him out for their hypocrisy. He called them out for not caring about the American people, yet he's forced to sign this thing.
Yeah, well, it is a frustration, I think, because as we said earlier, he wanted the 600 increase to 2,000, but that was in exchange for getting rid of the pork and the foreign aid that the average person would say, why are we giving $10 million to Pakistan for gender programs? Why are we doing that? Why aren't we supporting Americans instead? So that was supposedly going to be his exchange, but apparently, well, we'll have to wait and see if that actually happens. My fear is that what's going to happen, and Bernie Sanders spoke to this earlier, as he was saying, sign the bill, and then we'll pass another bill to make up the, you know, to increase it $1,400 to get to the 2,000. So it seems to me the Democrats are getting everything that they want. They're getting the foreign aid. They're getting, you know, Americans to support all of these countries for no real good reason, no strategic national interest or national security reason. And now the checks are going out. And you know, I mean, one of the other concerns that I've had with the Republican Party is at what point are they going to get concerned about spending?
That is the issue. You know, last year I was sitting here with our year in review, and it's something that I brought up a year ago. I said, guys, if there's any a story that is underreported by conservatives and liberals, it is the fact that we are so far in debt that no one has any idea just how bad this is. This is going to hurt the American people, our kids and grandkids, many of your grandkids, when they're going to have to pay this debt off that is totally out of control, and it can be used to cripple this country. The amount of power that China has over us right now, because how much debt of ours they have, that the amount of debt that we have in this country is six figures per taxpayer. And no one seems to give a crap in the Republican Party about this anymore.
No, and I read it's maybe a year ago, I can't remember. It was an interesting story, rationalizing maybe. I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe theorizing why President Trump doesn't care about deficit spending. And his background, of course, is in construction. And in construction, you have to take out massive loans and you're leveraged big time in order to build, you know, the types of buildings that he would build. And so he's used to that sort of spending. But of course, the problem is you also have people like Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and all of the progressives in Washington and Republicans, too, that they don't have a problem with that sort of spending. And so at what point are the Republicans going to get serious about spending? And I certainly see the argument that people are hurting and they need money because, you know, businesses are struggling and people are out of jobs and all of that. I understand that. But maybe we should look at tax cuts. Maybe we should look at places like Michigan and opening up so people can go back to work. Because if people are in work, if people are working, then they don't need $600 or $2,000. That is what they should be demanding, is open states up. Don't just continue racking up the credit card to China and expecting our kids to pay for it.
You know, I know what the Democrats are about, but one of the things that we have to take a look at is what are the Republicans about? I think we can already see Republicans jockeying to go back to the Mitt Romney, George Bush type of days right now. We are already seeing Republican congressmen that are attacking Donald Trump on the way out the door and trying to say, oh, I was never part of that MAGA crowd. I will remind you, 74 million Americans supported Donald Trump. But first, if you want to help the people in Georgia with what's going on there with the Senate election, then you need to join AMAC, the number one conservative organization in the country, for free right now. I'm going to give you a free membership because it's important that we now stand with the people of Georgia and that we fight to make sure that they have a free and fair election. Whatever happens in Georgia is what's going to happen with the country. What's going to happen in Georgia is going to decide the fate of an unbelievable amount of legislation. If they're able to win in Georgia, it is over. The Democrats control the House, the Senate, and the White House. So if you are ready to get in on all this action and to fight back and to stand with other conservatives to protect the Senate, join the number one conservative organization in the country right now. It is called AMAC for free. That's right, for free. Call them. Use my name, Ben, when you call them. Or you can go online to benfreeonline.com. That's benfreeonline.com. www.benfreeonline.com. You can get your free membership to the number one conservative organization in the country, benfreeonline.com. That's benfreeonline.com. And join the number one conservative organization in the country. All right, now we got to talk for a moment about Donald Trump actually signing this massive, massive stimulus bill. It is a bill that, don't be mad at Donald Trump for signing it. Be mad at the Republicans in Congress for screwing him. And Republicans had no problem going, taking your money and giving it to pork barrel spending instead of to you, the American people who need it. This is what they offered you, $600. That's it, just $600. It's shocking that Mitch McConnell would run so fast back to the old ways of doing business that the Republicans would do this. It's like, all right, well, now Trump's gone. It's almost like they're relieved that he's gone because they can go back to business as usual where they put their special interests ahead of the American people. Talking about all this with our year in review is Kyle Olson, a reporter with Breitbart News. Kyle, this, you know, is amazing to me how fast so many of these Republicans have run away from the president and have started to kind of even diss him a little bit. And they go back to this pork barrel spinning. The president did call them out on it, which was good for them doing this. But I'm not sure it's going to make an impact. Your reaction?
I don't know if it'll make an impact, but when I was in, I would travel in the Midwest. I live in Michigan. I'd travel in the Midwest to these various battleground states, and I'd ask people, why do you like President Trump? Because the very first Trump rally I went to was in December 2015. It was a Merry Christmas rally. It was unlike any Republican Party rally, any Republican candidate rally I'd ever been to. It was a very blue-collar kind of thing. It was not a Mitt Romney or a George W. Bush or a John McCain rally. It was a very different kind of feel. And I'd ask people, you know, what do you see in Donald Trump? How can you relate to this guy who, you remember when he went to the Iowa State Fair, he flew his helicopter there. Not exactly like, you know, something that a working person does. But he was a fighter. He is a fighter. That's what people see in him. And it's not just fighting for their jobs, fighting for American interests with America First, but it was fighting against the media and fighting against the Democrats, defending America, defending classic American values. That's what people see in Donald Trump. I don't think they see that in a Mitch McConnell. I don't think that they see that in a Chris Christie or all of these other, you know, I shouldn't say all of them, but in many of those potential 2024 candidates, they don't see a fighter like that. And so I think Trump was such a transformational candidate for the Republican Party. And we were talking earlier about Paris Denard. And Donald Trump changed the Republican Party. He grew the Hispanic support for Republicans. He grew the Black support for Republicans. The union support in places like Michigan and Ohio and Pennsylvania and Wisconsin and other states across the country, he changed the Republican Party, I think, for the better. And if people think that the smart thing to do is to run away from Donald Trump and what he did for the party, I think that that's a big mistake.
There are a lot of people that are looking like that's exactly what they're going to do. And I'm talking about elected officials. And that may be their downfall. I also think that there is, and I've been trying to explain this to people. There are certain Republicans, the Mitt Romneys of the world, that lost power because of a Donald Trump getting into office. They're more than happy to sacrifice leadership and being in charge of the government if it means they get their microphone back and they get to make decisions again. And that's basically what we're seeing right now is a lot of these guys that didn't, you know, have the podium are willing to have it in the minority than to actually deal with Donald Trump still being the president, which is the reason why I think they're genuinely happy about this.
Yeah, and I think that there's a lot of Republicans who would prefer to be the minority because that's easy. Because all you've got to do is just lob bombs. You don't have to take tough votes. You don't have to take the slings and arrows like President Trump did. It's easy to be in the minority. And I think that that's where people like Mitt Romney and others, they would prefer to do that because that's the easy thing to do. But to see what President Trump did over the last 4 years with the tax cut, with the economy, cutting regulation, all of that, that's hard work. And I think that he'll be rewarded for that.
Kyle, I really appreciate you coming on and helping us with this year in review. And this is obviously part three of that year in review. So a quick reminder, if you missed part one or part two in our podcast, make sure you go backwards. And you can listen to part one and part two of the biggest stories of the year and this year in review. You guys are amazing. I hope that you have a great, great new year. I hope that you've enjoyed what we've done at the end of this year with this podcast. We got a lot more fighting moving forward. That I can guarantee you. So, again, thank you for sharing this podcast with your family and friends. Let them know about it. Post on social media so others will find out about this podcast. And, again, thanks to Kyle for coming on. And I'll leave it at that for today. See you back here tomorrow.
With everything you have on your plate, earning your degree online seems impossible. But at Grand Canyon University, we specialize in helping you fit a master's degree in education into your busy day. Your graduation team, led by your own GCU counselor, provides you with the personal support you need to succeed. Achieve your goals with a plan and team behind you. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Visit gcu.edu.
I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty. We're the Armstrong and Getty Show.
We cover the stories the mainstream media ignores.
Stories that are important to your life and important to the world.
The election, of course.
The many trials of Donald Trump.
Couple of wars.
Gender-bending madness.
Why are kids looking at so much social media?
And we bring you the stories the mainstream media is on.
But we do it without the left-wing media spin.
Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Open your free iHeart app and search the Armstrong and Getty Show to start listening.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today.
Listen to Rappaport's Reality with me, Kibi Rappaport.
And me, Michael Rappaport, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.